hell. At 3 a.m, see, I'm picking you up for prayer. I said, I don't need prayer anymore. I did enough last night. He said, no, I'll pick you up. And you take me to the church, and there's somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people meeting at 5 o'clock in the morning before going to work. Man. So I was thinking about this church and what God's going to do. God's going to do good things. Amen? And I appreciated talking to David and Carolyn and Chuck and Sharon yesterday, how they backed Pastor Harris and has his back and praying for him and talking about the good things that are happening. Amen? So it's good. Everybody ought to be winning souls. You think so? Amen. This year so far, I led 177 to Christ outside the church and got about 160 of them, as close as I can tell, into the church. I talked to everybody. You that heard me before know I do that. I was in Chicago one time and the place was crowded and a guy came over and says, is this seat saved? I said, I don't even think it goes to church. But I said, we can pray for it. What do you think? He said, no. And he started backing away. And then he stopped and he said, what do you do for a living? So I talked to everybody. I told a pilot the other day, if you can't get me where you're going, I can get you where I'm going. He said, what does that mean? So I sat and talked to him. I didn't win him to Christ, but I scared him good. I do that too. So I have a lot of fun. I think everybody should be a soul winner. So I believe all of you are ministers. You just don't all have a pulpit. But you have a place you can talk to somebody. Isn't that true? We talked to the waiter yesterday at lunch. And he's going to come hopefully tonight. I offered him a free book if he'd come. And we talked to him. He picked up my plate. He said, are you finished? I said, no, I'm Jewish. We had fun with him. And so he may come tonight. Wouldn't it be good if he came and got saved tonight? Amen. So we're praying. God is a big God. Good things are happening. I think everybody should win souls because I'm always wondering about everything. I saw on television yesterday, I saw those ballet dancers. Have you ever seen them? It hurt me to watch them walking on their toes. You ever seen that? I thought, why don't they just get taller people? You know, that's so crazy. I was in Washington, D.C. I saw a sign in the graveyard that said, picking flowers is illegal except from your own grave. Who does that? You know. And we got some baby diapers for grandkids out in Washington, and on the box it says, throw away after use. Who saves them? You know, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And then I saw a stroller in the airport, had a warning sign on it. A lady was checking it in. And I wanted to see what the warning was. And I went and read it, and it said, do not fold, it said warning, do not fold up stroller with child inside. Glad my folks didn't see that. My dad would have shipped me off. It'd been the end of that. But anyway, everybody should be winning souls. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking about you. So everybody can do it. Had a great crusade last month in Africa. We had 50,000 people a night out. We had thousands saved. It was awesome. And then I just got back Wednesday from Israel. It was my 150th tour in 50 years. And in November, the Prime Minister, Netanyahu, is having a banquet for me to celebrate 50 years. Nobody has ever taken tours to Israel for 50 straight years. 150 times, 38,000 people from 17 countries. So God is good, and we're going to use it for a soul-winning thing. Amen. We're going to have fun. Amen? Everybody should have fun winning souls. See, everybody got a personality, and I'm not preaching yet. I'm just talking to you. But everybody should be winning souls. Amen? See, I don't think it's Pastor Harris's job to be the major soul winner in this church. Yeah, that's on. Just checking. He's a shepherd, like my pastor is a shepherd. And I've been to Israel now more than any man alive, and I can tell you this, I've never one time seen a pregnant shepherd. It's sheep that bear sheep. You'll get that on the way home. But anyway, I think it's exciting. Everybody should be a soul winner, amen? And so we're going on our 150th tour. If you're thinking of going, you ought to go with us sometime. I think it'd be great. I'd like to have Pastor Harris with me sometime. Take his wife. He could preach on the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and she could walk on the water. So we make that work. What do you think? Amen, amen. Well, God is a good God, and we're so excited and trusting the Lord for good stuff. I brought some of my books along, and I want to thank God. We have a new book that just came out called The Master Plan for Success. And Amazon has sold 100,000 of these the last 3 weeks. And because of that, and because of what's on page 127, I think it is, they are putting me on Fox and Friends in the next couple months. They wanted me in May, and I had to turn it down because I was in Africa. So I guess you don't turn down Fox. But I had to because my mission trip was so important to me. But if you want to get it, you can get a copy, and we're going to have fun. They said you can't be political, but you can, you know, talk about that page 127. Why did you write this book? And is a master plan for success guaranteed? And they want to ask me those questions. And some of those on Fox and Friends are already Christians, so thank God for that. So we're praising God for it. Got my life story book back there. It's not my whole life story because things happened to me this morning that aren't in the book. But anyway, got some other stuff. And if you buy my seminar, I got a seminar that talks about your life, your health. How many believe your health's important? Amen. I took off 75 pounds. God wants me to be a temple, not a cathedral. So I did that, but the book talks about your life, your decisions, and your money. And if you buy my seminar, I'm going to give you all everything else, all the books, tapes, videos, CDs, everything free. So you stop back there. You bring a Bible this morning? I'm reading from the King James Version. You don't need a King James Version Bible to go to heaven. But when you get there, one will be issued to you. So I'm reading from the King James Version in Jeremiah. And tonight, I'm going to talk about service. What time is tonight? 6:30. I'm going to talk about some things that I think are vitally important because I believe that everybody faces something spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, or something. We all face things. Isn't that true? And some of it's not good. How many agree with that? So we're going to talk about how you either break down, break up, or break through. I'm going to talk about that tonight and what it has to do with soul winning. Because I think whatever we're going to do for God has got to be done shortly. I believe the coming of the Lord is a lot sooner than we realize. The other day in Israel, I went in with the rabbis to the Holy of Holies. Nobody is allowed in there. It's not a, you know, top rabbi. But they allowed me in there. And I took a pastor with me. And we went in there and we talked to the rabbis. You know what they're saying? We hear the footsteps of the coming Messiah. Hallelujah! You say, well, they believe it's his first coming. I know that. We believe it's his second coming. But we all believe he's what? He's coming! So that's exciting, and I believe that. We're going to talk about some things. But in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Isn't that exciting? Before we were ever formed in our mother's belly, the Lord said, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I think that is an exciting portion of God's word. Do you agree with that? And then in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace. Not of evil, to give you an expected end. We heard from God this morning that God wants us to go beyond where we've ever been before. He wants us to have answers. We are winners anyway, isn't that true? And so God wants us to overcome the obstacles, to make the impossible possible, and to break down barriers of defeat and have victory in every phase of our life. He has a master plan for every life. God has a master plan for this church. And I love talking to people I've associated with already here that I've already met before and knew for years, but I appreciated the thoughts I heard from them about how God is in this church, that God has good things to happen here. And I appreciate the spirit that Pastor Harris has so very, very much, his lovely wife. God is a big God, and he has a master plan for us. Seemed like everybody got a plan. You go to Walmart, they got a plan. Did you know that? Do you have Walmart here? If I walk into Walmart here, it's the same as walking into Walmart in our state. They've got everything at the same spot. It's amazing how everybody got some kind of plan. If you go into McDonald's, they have a plan. It's called get in line behind the person that came in ahead of you. You don't walk into McDonald's and say, hey, excuse me, I'm in a hurry. Push people out of line. You don't do that. They don't have signs on the wall to tell you that. They have a master plan, and you know what it is. If you go to Wendy's, they don't trust you with the master plan. They have them little things. You got to go through them. You got to go in them little. You hate them little things? But see, they got a master plan. If you go to Subway, they have a master plan. You can sit down at Subway and wait for a week, and no waitress is going to wait on you. Because they have a plan. It's to get up in line and go through and tell them what you want. Everybody got some kind of a master plan. I have a master plan. My kids, my grandkids, and they came to my house. They always ate everything we had in that cupboard. And so when they came, I'd feed them whatever they wanted. And one day I said to them, I want you to work. We're going to pull weeds today. I live on 10 acres out in the country. And I said, we're going to pull weeds, and I am not paying you. You eat all our food anyway. They come to our house and start cooking and eating. And I said, don't you have food at your house? They said, yes, but we ate 10 minutes ago there. And so they're eating my food. So I said, today we're going to pull weeds. So we went out, and I was helping them. And Jordan said to Josh, man, it's hot out here. He said, I need a Pepsi, but there's no money today. We're working for him for nothing because we love him. That's what Grandpa said. So we're just going to work. And he said, if I faint, when you call the ambulance, said, tell them that we're working for nothing. Tell them we're like slaves. We just have to pull weeds, and we can't get no money, so there's no Pepsi. And if I die, tell them that. I knew they were working on me. You know, they were trying to give. I took them in the house and got them a Pepsi. Everybody got some kind of plan. And the Bible said here that God has this master plan for us. I'm going to believe God's got a plan. Kids have a plan. Everybody got a plan. My wife said to me one day, let's go downtown and go looking. Ain't nobody going looking. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, just look. I said, okay, I'll go with you. We'll leave the credit cards home, leave the money home, leave the checkbook home. We're looking. She said, well, bring a credit card just in case. See, wives have a plan. You men, how many realize that? Yeah, men got their hands up. There's a lady putting her husband's hand up. And so, anyway, that's the way it is. So I went and got in the car, and she said, turn here and drive here. And, you know, I don't need a GPS. I married one. And so we're just driving along. We got to the store. She jumped out. She ran into the store, and I'm following her into the store. We went down this aisle, that aisle. We came upon a table. She said, look at this table. I said, it's beautiful. I love this table. I'm glad this store has this table so that when people come in here, they can see this table and look at it and admire it like I am. It's a beautiful table. I hope they always keep it. Then she said, we need this table. It's a good thing I had the credit card with me, just in case, you know. See, everybody got a plan. One little kid said to his grandpa, make a sound like a frog. He said, I don't want to make a sound like a frog. You go out and play. He said, please, grandpa, make a sound like a frog. He said, why do you want me to make a sound like a frog? He said, because grandma said that we're going to Disneyland as soon as you croak. See, everybody got a plan. But the Bible said here that God has a plan. And I believe that one of the first things we need with God's master plan to work in our life is to have a good attitude. Amen? I love people with a good attitude. And I'm not here to brag on people, but, you know, I just appreciate those that I talked to yesterday and had dinner and lunch with, the attitude they have for this church. And the attitude they have for Pastor Harris. And the attitude they have towards one another. I think an attitude's important. How many ever had a bad attitude? Two people. This is a great church. But anyway, I think it's important that we have a good attitude. But there's a lot of people that have been hijacked by a bad attitude. If somebody can pull you down, they're lower than you are anyway, and you don't want to go there. You see, I believe that we need a good attitude in, with our family, with the church, with one another, with where we work. You can't win people to Christ if you don't have a good attitude. Isn't that true? I was in the store. My wife sent me to the store one day. We don't do much shopping. We got people do that for us, but we went into the store. And I did. She sent me to get one item. And they only had three counters open. And people were lined up with thousands of items. And I had one item. I got behind this lady. She visited more than she was buying, seemed like. And so she put the items down. And I thought, please hurry. And while I was waiting, my attitude got bad. You ever have that happen? These two people, they did. But anyway, my attitude got bad, and I thought, what is with her? And she got, and when she got it done, she didn't have enough money. She was $4 short. She said, well, I'll put something back. Oh, brother, we're going to be here all day. And so I said, no, listen, I'll pay for you. No, she said. I said, yeah, just get it boxed up. And I gave $4. She said, I know who you are. I'll bring it down to your office. I said, no, I don't want the money. I just wanted to get out of there. But I didn't tell her that. And so finally, I thought, wait, what am I doing? What am I doing with my attitude? I need to be nice to her. I was upset. You know, I don't want to tell you all that because I get upset too. Do you? I know these two people do. But so I was upset, but I got my attitude straightened out. And I said, here, I'll put the stuff in the cart and I'll wheel it out to your car. And I did, and I witnessed to her. And before she left in the parking lot at Safeway parking or Safeway store, I led her to Christ. She is in our home church today. Isn't that wonderful? So we have to get our attitude straightened out. Our attitude is good. I feel a good attitude in this church. I really do. I look at things, and I feel a good attitude with your pastor, with everybody. I think it's wonderful. I had a lot of people hugging me this morning. I forgot some of your names, but they were hugging me, saying, we're glad you're back. Good to see you and all that, you know. Amen. So an attitude's good. Amen. We need a good attitude. Then I believe another thing that is so vitally important, because you see, God don't want just a share of your life. I hear people say, God wants a share of your life. No, he wants all of your life. Every bit. I just did a series on our radio programs. We're on almost 800 stations now all over the world. And I can tell you, I just did this series on God wanting your life. Amen? I mean, believe God wants all of your life. He don't want just you here on Sunday. He wants you working and living for him during the week and witnessing. You can't have a bad attitude and win people to Christ. He wants all of your life. And then the second thing I think we need to do is to forgive and forget the past. I've had to do that in my own life. Everybody needs to do that. You say, well, they talk bad at me. They talk behind my back, or they cheated me, or they lied about me. It doesn't matter what they did. It only matters that you forgive and forget. Amen? You know, most of you know anyway that by our youngest son, Danny, was killed in a motorcycle and semi-truck wreck. And a man in our town that sues people for a living, sued us and put stuff on the web about us, talked against us, everything. And my wife said one day, she said, honey, you've got to forgive him. I said, I'm trying. I'm working on it. You know, I hadn't done it yet. You got that? But I was working on it. And one day she said, the Bible said, pray for your enemies. I said, I'm doing that. I said, God, wipe him out. Then I knew that wasn't right. So we have to forgive and forget the past, because God's got this master plan. He said, I have this master plan for you. And I think that's good. And then we have to change what we can. You can't change everything. You can't change your birthday. I'll be 83 years old this year. I can't change that. Nothing I can do about that. I was on the airplane and the guy was celebrating his 25th anniversary. I said, wonderful. He said, how long you been married? I said, I've been married 63 years. He said, to the same woman? I said, yeah. I said, you know what I did for my 25th anniversary? He said, what? I said, I took my wife to Europe. He said, that's wonderful. I said, you know what I did for my 50th? He said, what? I said, I went back and got her. So it opened the door, and I witnessed to him. I didn't lead him to Christ, but he ain't never going to be the same. I'll tell you that much. And so I use everything to witness to people. So I believe we have to do that kind of thing and change what we can. You can't change the death of a friend or a relative. If I'd have been rich, I'd have given $1 million to change my son from dying. I couldn't do that. You can't change that kind of thing. And you can't change the past, whether it was good or bad. And you can't change decisions that somebody made about you. Amen? You can't change that. You can't change your ethnic origin. I'm a German Jew. Should hate myself. But I can't change that. Nothing I can do about it. My son-in-law is a Mexican. Now, I could eat tacos all day long with hot sauce on, but at the end of the day, I'm not a Mexican. I'm a German Jew with hot sauce. So you can't change that, but you can change some things in your life. If you are not witnessing to somebody and you claim to be a Christian, then I am very concerned about that. Just check and see if it's still on. But everybody can talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's why I witness to people. I turn everything into soul winning. I just have more fun. I just love doing it. I lead a lot of people to Christ on airplanes during bad weather. It's really fun. The plane just is shaking. Coming into Cedar Rapids yesterday, it was stormy. And the plane was just shaking. I leaned over to the guy beside me and said, you ready to die? He said, don't talk that way. My wife said, that ain't the way to do it. I get them when they're hot. Don't bother me. I didn't lead him to Christ, but scared him a little bit. So I think it's important. I turn everything. I got on an airplane not long ago with one of the biggest chicken farmers in America from Minnesota. You got millions of chickens. And he said, you can't ask me something about a chicken that I can't answer. I thought that over a minute. And I said, which side of the chicken has the most feathers? He said, that's not important. I said, I didn't say it was important. You asked me to ask you a question about chickens. I'm asking you a question. Which side of the chicken got the most feathers? He couldn't figure it out. He said, I don't know. Which side? I said, the outside. He's a chicken farmer that'll never be the same. But I found out he was a Christian too, went to a Baptist church, so I said, well, I'll give up on you. But anyway, everybody can talk to somebody, amen? Because God's got this master plan, so we change what we can. Some people need to change some things. You need to be known for the fruit you bear, not for the fertilizer you're spreading. Amen. Every church needs to be known for that. We want to bear fruit. We want to touch lives. We want to do something for God because God has his master plan. And then I believe that we have to be a positive force in a negative world. Our church is doing all kinds of stuff in soul winning. We have a motorcycle Sunday that's exciting with hundreds and hundreds of motorcycles. We give away a check for $5,000 from Harley Davidson to the person that has the most votes for the nicest motorcycle. We do the same thing with a car Sunday. We have classic cars, and they get a $5,000 check from Chevrolet for the car that's voted on with the most votes. It's exciting. It's all about soul winning, amen? About touching lives, helping people. And I heard you did something with a gas cards or something here, and giving away gasoline. That's wonderful. I think we should think every day, so what can we do personally to touch somebody's life? God's got a master plan for your life. You have the DNA of God in your life. The Bible said we're created in the image of God. You believe that? If that's true, we have God's DNA. God did not make you positive and negative. He made you positive. Amen? You're good. You're wonderful. You're great. You're God's creation. He didn't do anything bad. He made us. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're great. Amen. Everybody can do that. I compliment my wife. Sometimes I give her special cards on days, just her wonderful days. I used to give my mother a Mother's Day card every month throughout the year. And she called me up and say, this ain't Mother's Day. I said, every day is Mother's Day. And then when Mother's Day came, I never gave her nothing. I let my sisters do that. They did it once a year. I did it every month. So I just have fun doing stuff. And I think that God created us in his image so that we could touch other lives. Somebody's waiting for your testimony. Somebody is waiting. I was eating in a restaurant one day by myself, and the waitress brought me a meal. And I said, excuse me, do you mind if I say grace over my food? Now, do I need permission for that? No. But I did it. I used it as a soul winning thing. And so she said, oh, no, people pray. It's okay. I said, thank you. Thank you very much. I said, is there anything in your life that I could mention to God while I'm praying? And she started crying. I'll never forget it. She said, I'm going through a terrible divorce. Please pray for me. And I had a real chance. I led her to Christ. God is a big God, isn't he? And so we have to change what we can because this master plan is here to work in our lives. God did not make you a failure. And nobody can make you a failure without your consent. So you live on the positive side. You go to a great church. You have a great God. Amen? You got some great friends. You have a great pastor and associates and so on here and a great orchestra and everything. I think it's wonderful. Amen? We got to be excited. I get excited about my home church. I witnessed to a man one day and I said, you need to hear my pastor. Boy, he is awesome. He said, I'd come, but you have a hypocrite in your church. I said, I think we have six of them. He said, really? I said, I think so. He didn't know what to do with that. I have more fun talking to people. He's in our church now. Our pastor got him saved. And get what you believe for. You don't believe for nothing, you don't get nothing. One lady picked up one of my Holy Land brochures in California, said, oh, I'd love to go to Israel with you, but I'll never go. I took the brochure and put it back. No sense wasting them. You got that. So I think we need to believe God and say, God has a master plan for my life. God has a master plan for each one of you today. Touch your life. We're going to talk about some things tonight you'll never forget. But I believe that God wants to touch your life. Amen? I believe he wants to help you. I believe he wants to work a miracle in your life. Quickly, I want to tell you this. I may have told this here, but there was a lady on United Airlines who was a flight attendant. She was a beautiful black lady. And I got acquainted with her. Her name was Wanda Green. And then later, I met her husband. Got acquainted with him. He didn't work for United. He just was with her one day. And then my wife met Wanda, and they got acquainted. And then we met, she met her husband, and they got acquainted. So the four of us, we knew each other. And every day that I flew in United and met Wanda, I'd witness to her. But she had a way of getting around it. You ever seen people like that? She was good at it. And I wasn't good at leading her to Christ. 3 years went by. And I saw her in Chicago at the airport one day having coffee. And I went over and said, Wanda, how are you? And she jumped up and gave me a hug and a kiss on the cheek. She said, I haven't seen you. Where you been? I said, well, just on different flights than you. So we talked. She said, how's Barb doing? I said, here. I took the cell phone. Punch a button, and she was talking to my wife. I don't know what they talked about, but they were just talking. And while she was talking, I thought, you know, I teach soul winning. We do soul winning classes. We have a thing that we do on Sundays, a lot of church. We had five churches double in size last year. One church went from 600 to 1,700 in four Sundays. That was awesome. Wasn't me, the people did it. But we had a soul winning seminar on a Sunday night. And so I thought, I just haven't won Wanda to Christ. And it bothered me. 3 years I witnessed to her. So when she got done on the phone, I said, Wanda, my wife and I love you. You're a beautiful woman. You have a nice attitude. You care for people. But what just kills me is that when you die, you're going to go to hell. And I hate that. And I saw a tear go down her cheek. And I thought, this is the day. And I said, Wanda, I'm going to lead you to Christ right now. She said, okay. And she prayed the sinner's prayer. It was so good. And when we got done, she had to leave, catch a flight. She got up. I got up. She gave me a hug. She kissed me on the cheek. And I said, go home, lead your husband to Christ. And she did that, found out. But as she left, we waved goodbye, and then in Chicago airport, I turned around and we waved again. You ever done that? Just waved another time. See ya! I would never see Wanda again this side of heaven. Never. 10 days later, 9/11 happened. Wanda was on United 67 that crashed in Pennsylvania. And she was killed. I told this in South Carolina, and a lady in the audience just screamed out, thank you, Jesus. And then she came to me later and she said, you know, 5 days after you led Wanda to Christ, I'm a flight attendant, she led me to Christ. Hallelujah. See, that's the answer. And I was at that spot where they had that little sign. Now they got a building there and everything. And I had that sign, and I went over and I took a picture of her name, Wanda Green. And a bus pulled up, a tour bus. And a lady came out and she said, one of your relatives die here? I said, no, a personal friend of mine did, a United flight attendant. She said, really? She said, I have a busload of people, come and tell them a story. And I got on the Greyhound bus and witnessed to 55 people. I mean, how cool is that? I got to witness to them. And I said, well, this is crazy, but before I leave, I'll just say a prayer for you if you want to know the Lord. And we had 9 people raise their hand in the bus. I never did that in my life. Now I'm looking for Greyhound buses everywhere. Everybody can touch somebody's life. God's got a master plan for your life. Bow your head with me this morning. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for the great spirit here, Pastor Harris, and for those that are working with him. I thank you, Lord, that good things are happening. And I give you praise for it today. I honor you today. Touch every life. Bring us back tonight for something really special. Do something tonight. But right now, Lord, put your blessing upon these people in a special way. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there anybody here that says, if the Lord should die before 6:30 tonight, that I'm not ready to meet Christ, pray for me. Would you raise your hand so I could see it? If you're here, there's one way in the back. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, pray for me. Father, I thank you. Touch this brother in Jesus' name. Right now, we give you praise. We honor you for it. Amen. Pastor Harris, we're going to turn it to you. Give the Lord a good hand of praise this morning.